The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
That's right. The Cowboys star running back, according to his agent, Rocky Arsenault, tested positive for the coronavirus recently. Arsenault telling me that Zeke Elliott is feeling fine. And from what I understand, the Texans players also are feeling fine and really do not appear to be sick. It's also worth noting that it doesn't seem that any of these players were in the team facility, which is more good news there. And then the teams followed proper protocol for a player testing positive for the coronavirus. Also should mention that Dak Prescott, the Cowboys quarterback, who's been seen working out and hanging out with Zeke, is fine. The Cowboys have not commented much on this at all, only to say that due to federal and local privacy laws, they are unable to provide information regarding the personal health of one of their employees. The Texans, Tom, have not yet commented, but one thing is clear as we got the news today that Ezekiel Elliott has tested positive for the coronavirus. He is not the first, and he certainly will not be the last as the NFL deals with this heading into the 2020 season.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and Rona updates, and Gundy updates, and cheating updates, and more. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Just staying on lockdown until I find out if our friend has the Rona.
How's that working out for you?
It's fine. I got used to it. I mean, it's I wanted to go out and have a few drinks this weekend, but I just did it at home. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to take any kind of chances or put anybody at risk. And I'm 99% certain that I'm fine. I certainly feel fine, and I also pretty sure I already had it at some point. So I'm just, but being safe, doing the smart thing, which not enough people are doing, but I can't control them. I can only control me.
I'm getting a lot of grief over the Twitter.com because I posted about the flattened curve, which really just means we flattened to where we have like a bunch of cases nonstop here in the U.S. And this guy is very angry because I am not staying at home. Like, how can I talk? I was telling people to stay at home at the beginning, you know, like when the orders were to stay at home. And yeah. Now that the orders aren't stay at home and I'm not staying at home, I'm a hypocrite because I'm not following or I'm not going with what I said at the beginning when the orders were stay at home unless you're non-essential. So I'm a hypocrite and I've accepted that, you know, it is, and I'm getting accused of clickbait on Twitter.com, which from what I understood of Twitter, I never get money per click on Twitter. Like they never send me a check and say, hey, you had so many people interact with this thing that you posted. We're going to give you dollars. That's literally never happened to me. So, and it could change. It could change. I may be getting that now. I don't know because I'm such an influencer. And then I was getting it from another guy. He sent me a private message on Instagram. And it says, At some point, I'm not sure if he sent this as a text to the station or what, but here's the text, and I'll read it. And it's not very flattering to me, so just bear with me. AJ is Bill O'Brien. I feel bad for what's going to happen to him after this. Bring Joel on with Fred. That dynamic would be iconic. Might actually save the station. So, that's five O's. So sad to see what has become. I've been down with y'all since y'all did the noon slot and y'all had Dave and Carl on drive time. Fred has a vision with Culture Map and everything that it has evolved to. Yet it seems a few certain people at the station keep bleeping the bed and taking two steps back. Not wise, guys. And he said, you're going to block me on the text line over this? Shake my head. Wow. To which I said, dude, I don't even look at the text line, much less do I know how to block people on there. I don't know how to work that text line. That's not my problem. So I'm getting it all angles today, Fred. Everyone is angry at me. It is, and I'm not even Rob Manfred. Everyone's angry at me. I don't get it.
First off, I don't block anybody on the text line, and I've basically suggested you stay as far away from it as possible. And then when you tried it, you saw why. So yeah, I don't know if he sent that text or what, but
you blocked him?
Nobody's blocked.
Okay.
Nobody's blocked. Apparently, there is a way to do it, but it's just not worth it.
I'm not a blocker.
It's easier. I can ignore, you know, it's just as easy when I see a number that repeatedly sends crap. I just ignore it. It gets deleted before it gets read. So it's not that big a deal. Well, can I give some positives to start the show before we get into all the negatives?
Okay.
Shout out to my son who got his diploma in the mail from the University of Houston.
Congratulations.
He graduated with degrees in political science and English and graduated magna cum laude, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds impressive. So his next thing, he's thinking about law school, which...
All right.
I'd be four, but smart kid and just very proud of him and just wanted to do that. I also have two reports for you beyond that. I promised to listen to all the Dirty Honey songs.
Okay.
The first EP, every single song is out freaking standing. I mean, just really good stuff. The second one, there's like two outstanding songs and a bunch of pretty good ones. But if you're only going to get one, get that first EP. It's badass.
Okay.
And the other thing that I did, somebody suggested I watch the show Lilyhammer. And I heard the name and I'm like, why on earth would I be even remotely interested in that? Well, have you heard of this show?
I've not.
Well, it turns out it's Stevie Van Zandt essentially playing the character from The Sopranos. He rolls over on his boss and then moves to Norway to hide out and sets up his own mob there. And it is freaking hilarious. The only problem is half of it's in Norwegian, so you have to read subtitles, which I'm not a fan of. But what a funny-ass show if you like Mafia. And Stevie Van Zandt's great. I guess he's Steven Van Zandt now. He's grown up. But Well, don't you remember when he was just a saxophone player for Bruce Springsteen and Little Stevie and the Disciples of Souls? He was always Stevie. But now he's Steven. But he's great in it, and it's worth your time. If you like Mafia stuff at all, and you know I have a bit of a hankering for
that's your thing.
Yeah. So that was my weekend, was binge-watching that. I'm in season three now. I'm not even sure how many there are. But that was about it. That and played a lot of online poker and had a really good weekend at that. So just... staying safe, man.
What I've been focused on is the impending start of baseball season. I've just been mentally preparing myself for baseball season, and I'm super, super excited about it. Oh, wait. What's this that just came across my Twitter?
Wait. I got to ask a question. Oh. Your kids' baseball season?
No,
or
I don't
MLB?
Care about that. That's what makes me a horrible person, is my kid plays baseball, so that's gonna get us shut back down again. That's what I've heard now. I'm talking about the MLB season.
Oh.
But now Jeff Passan just tweeted that Rob Manfred says he's not confident there will be a 2020 baseball season. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm a 100% certain that's going to happen. So I've been saying for a little bit of time that baseball is not going to happen. And it's not so much to do. I mean, I guess it's partly to do with coronavirus, but mostly it's to do with money. And they're not going to play. And honestly, at this point, like if they're talking about a 48-game season, I'd rather there just be no season, right? Do we really want some made-up, like sort of a half-ass quarter season and then a weird playoff where we crown a champion that will – like you talk all the time about asterisks. Like there has to be an asterisk on a season like that where it's not like a real playoff system or anything. That's just weird.
Yeah, I've been saying all along, I don't think they're coming back, mainly because both sides are so freaking greedy, it's embarrassing. And I would be okay with a shortened season as long as the playoffs were normal, right? Where you did the playoffs exactly the way you've always done them, I'd be okay with that. But you know, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen, and good riddance. You greedy bastards, go and enjoy yourself. We got other problems to worry about. We don't need you back. I'll watch English Premier League this week.
Yeah.
I don't need you baseball. I'm good.
Sorry, baseball. So. You may, and I'm telling you, if the NBA might do the same thing. They might F this whole thing off too. I don't know. But I'll be honest, Fred, what I've realized, I don't really need sports in my life. I'm gonna be okay. Like I is it fun for me when the UFC's on? Sure. Yeah, I enjoy it. Now call me when football season starts. If there's no football, I might feel differently. I might have some emotion. But and you know, I'm a baseball fan. I mean, basketball, I'm a roller coaster. But baseball, I'm a fan, and I'm totally okay if they don't play. I don't really care. But there's enough stuff that. If I don't have sports, I'll do something. I'll read a book. I don't know. I'll watch a movie. I'll do something. But I'm not begging these guys to come back and play baseball for millions of dollars. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when you say I can live without sports, I can live without everything but football.
Yeah.
And maybe hockey. I mean, I'd love for hockey to come back. If the other stuff doesn't, oh well. You know, I mean, we'll see you next year. It's not a big deal to me. I'll enjoy it if they do come back, but you know, it's like I said, I've had horse racing the whole time. I've really gotten into soccer, enjoying that. So, I mean, and those are sports that horse racing is different, but the soccer and the UFC, I'm a casual fan, but I'm enjoying being a casual fan and watching a lot more of it. And that's really just replacing stuff like NBA and baseball. But like you said, if we get to the fall and there's no football, I might be swinging from a shower rod.
Yeah.
There's no question. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 210 says, regarding salty texters and tweeters, nobody can chill in 2020. We all need to be excellent to each other. I wish people would. I really do. But it brings out the worst in people. I know everybody's emotional right now, and they should be, man. We don't know what the hell's going to happen in this damn world. But that's the time to actually be cool and be supportive and not angry all the time. But my new favorite Twitter guy is, well, I saw like three people today do their something take period, which that's, come on guys, that doesn't end anything when you say period. But my favorite one is what they're not telling you about this. I saw about four of those today. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know so much more than everybody else. Congratulations. Now get off my timeline. I don't know how the hell some of these people are showing up to begin with. If you're my friend, quit retweeting these idiots. So, yeah. Oh, St. Patrick says Yellowstone is back this weekend. That'll be cool. I like that show.
I do like that show. It's a good show.
Yeah, and just a couple things that I wanted to get to is that one friend was asking about ratings, and you responded. But, you know, I think right now, even if we wanted to do something, it's kind of hard. I mean, this is, you know, we're dealing with the Rona just like everybody else. And I know that they're important, but I also feel like I don't think we have fewer listeners. I just think it's the way the book is gone. And, you know, it's across the board. It's everybody. And there's no sports. So we're doing the best we can, man. And then I think Lamont has a really good point here. If you're an NFL or college team, should you be happy that your players are testing positive this early versus during the season? He says, hell, if I were in charge, I'd be shooting up my players with Rona now. Obviously,
Zeke Elliott getting it now is probably better than him getting it week four.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We don't know if that's how it works. We've all kind of assumed that once you get it, you got it, and then it's like it's chicken pox. I don't know if that's true. I mean, have we seen any like hard evidence that that's the case? I don't think so.
And I don't know how many people have been retested after they've had it to see if they got it again. I don't know. And the weird thing about this, it affects everybody so differently that it's hard to tell, right? Because I'm almost certain that I've already had it because I had some mild symptoms a few months ago before all this started. And that doesn't mean I can't get it again if I did, but I don't know because we didn't have testing then. So, my plan is to find out, well, and I guess I can say it cause he put it on Twitter, but Trey had to get tested because he was in contact with somebody. And I was in that room with him for about 35 minutes doing his podcast. And while I didn't get that close, it's an enclosed space for a long time. So I'm just waiting to see if he winds up testing negative. I'll be back in the office tomorrow or whatever day it is. And if he tests positive, I'll go get tested before I come back and not worry about it. But I have absolutely zero symptoms other than, you know, the occasional hangover in the morning, which I think is natural. So, but that's
that. Well, it's natural when you drink the night before. Yeah.
But
yeah,
this is kind of a deal. This is the reality we're all going to have to deal with. It's going to happen where somebody comes in contact with somebody and then comes in contact with us, and then we just got to be smart about it. So, I think as far as the players go, if you think that once you've had it, you don't get it again, yeah, get it now. Get it out of the way before you have to start practicing. But I think that will be interesting is the first time we get a case of somebody who gets it again. I don't know that. Has that happened?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, we're just not sure that, you know, you can't get it again. So, are y'all going to talk Gundy trying to figure out if I have a side or if they have the right to do what they did?
Listen, here's what I'll say about the Gundy thing. If Chuba Hubbard is... First of all, I didn't know what that is. I don't know. Do you know about that network that's on Mike Gundy's shirt?
Only because I've watched John Oliver, and he did a whole bit on it.
Okay. I don't even know. I mean, is it like basically Internet Fox News or what?
It is a network that is farther right than Fox News.
Oh, okay.
And the president loves it because they say nice things about him. But they also have a lot of conspiracy theories and things like that, that it's just, it's basically what most organizations are like now. It picks a side, but they've decided to go even right of Fox News. So that's what it is. And it's funny. From the clips that I've seen, some of the arguments they try to make, it sounds like me and aliens.
Okay.
But Yeah, it's kind of like that.
What I will say is, I mean, Chuba Hubbard's, he's got every right to feel that way if that's what he wants. If he doesn't want to play for a coach who has those beliefs, so be it. Mike Gundy also has every right to say, okay, that's not my problem. I mean, Mike Gundy's the one under contract for millions of dollars to the university. I mean, I get Chuba Hubbard's their best player, and Chuba Hubbard's, I mean, he's going to the NFL after this season probably. Is it going to cost you more money if you lose Chuba Hubbard, or is it going to cost you more money if you lose Mike Gundy? I'll do the math for you. Chuba Hubbard doesn't collect a salary, so it would cost them a lot of money to get rid of Mike Gundy. And listen, this is the world we're in now. If you are, and this could just be the start of it. There could be a bunch of these young black athletes who say, I'm not dealing with this anymore, from a bunch of you old square white coaches. We're not dealing with it. And it's certainly within their rights to do. I don't know if going, you know, threatening boycott over Twitter is the best way to go about it. But, I mean, isn't it within Chuba's rights to say, I'm out on this. I'm not playing for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know that I would have handled it on Twitter like that. I think if I had a real issue with something like that, I would try to deal with the coach first and just say, hey, listen, man, I'm not doing this. And if you don't hear the response you like, then you go public. But hey, whatever, you know, if he's that uncomfortable with it, that's certainly his choice. And, you know, Chuba is he's Canadian too, which means he's not going to be, I mean, a news organization like that isn't exactly going to go over too well unless you're from Alberta, which he's not. Actually, I don't know. He may be from Edmonton. I thought it was Winnipeg, but whatever. What do we expect? I mean, this is Gundy. This is what he's always been. And, you know, is it insensitive to wear that now? I don't know. It's just kind of silly.
Well, listen, I don't even think it's kind of silly. If that's his favorite, you know, news site or whatever, and he wants to wear it, fine. It's not like he's wearing a Ku Klux Klan shirt, okay? I mean, that's...
Yeah, he's from Edmonton. Okay. Yeah,
that's not a, you know, it doesn't just say, he's not wearing some shirt that says Black Lives Don't Matter. If he was wearing something like that, it'd be like, oh, okay, well, you're a moron and you deserve everything you get. If Mike Gundy is a right wing nut job, like if he's Alex Jones, okay. That's the beauty of America is you're still allowed to believe, even if what you believe is crazy. And let's face it, we talk about this all the time.
I will eat your ass.
Yeah, most people who are far, far right wing or far, far left wing are all crazy. You're allowed to be that in this country. But you also can't be upset when, in the times that we're living in, a young black athlete doesn't feel like you've got his best interest at heart if that's what you believe. And that's both guys are totally entitled to what they feel right there.
Oh, absolutely. I think especially if you're going to go to a school and you're not going to be politically aligned. I don't think, like I said, I don't think it was that bad that Gundy did it, but I don't blame the kid either for just saying, you know what, this is not something I want to be involved in, and that's okay. But I'll go back to what I've been saying all along, that you need to sit down and work it out and realize that your politics don't mean bleep, either one of your politics. They really don't. Whatever political side you're on, wherever you are politically, it's meaningless, and we've got to stop treating it like it's this big deal. Because, and I mean, I get his frustration. He's got the option to go somewhere else if he wants. But how about you sit down and talk with your coach?
I listen, and I'll say this. I don't want to be a guy who makes sweeping stereotypes, but did you ever think of Mike Gundy as like, oh, he's probably not a far right wing Trump bumper sticker type, like, Is this somehow a shock to Chuba Hubbard? Like, did he get recruited by him this whole time and not realize what Mike Gundy's political leanings were? Because I feel like I know, and I've never, I have met the guy. I haven't I haven't spent any time alone with him, certainly. But it seems like something I picked up pretty quickly. Really, I picked it up with his haircut. All right? So if you're not picking it up, it's kind of on you, Chuba. You should have known this from the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think, and somebody says that OAN said BLM is a farce. And maybe they did, but that's, you know, that being the case.
Well, that's also say, that I mean, if it's a news organization and one guy says something, that one guy isn't the entire organization.
Well, let's also be honest. It's not a news organization. It's a biased.
It's a political website. Okay.
It's a political thing. Yeah. Just like MSNBC is left. I mean, it's, and you know, I'm not going to wear an MSNBC shirt either, just for the record. So, all right, let's just take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A32 said the kid had no idea what the network is. He was fed that info. The kid is stupid to take a stand on this. Okay, here's something that I wish you would stop.
Okay, go ahead.
No, why does everything have to be you're right or you're wrong? Whether or not, and my only beef is that I would have taken it up with Gundy first and said, hey, are you aware?
I think that's the
that
move.
This is, yeah.
Like and personally, says, not on Twitter.
Right. But the thing is, you know, maybe he doesn't know that they came out and said that and that people are going to take that network as an anti-Black Lives Matter thing. And maybe he does and doesn't care, but how about have that conversation? He's perfectly within his rights to wear that shirt. The kid's perfectly within his rights to be pissed off. Why is it that you have to be one or the other? And I just think this is a problem. It's a Twitter world now, and that sucks because people don't talk things out.
Well, that's the thing. And like, you can say he's stupid if you disagree with him, but if to him, it may be important. Like, these are the things that... I mean, what's important to you and what's important to Mike Gundy and what's important to Chuba Hubbard can all be different. And so if he wants to take a stand on this, so be it. It doesn't bother me.
No, he's well within his rights. And I may not agree with him. I may not agree with Gundy. But the reality is they have the right to do that. And then you having a right to have an opinion on it and think they're stupid. I don't think anybody's stupid here. I think this is just a thing that the kid's obviously upset. I just wouldn't have handled it on Twitter. And I think that's the problem with everything now is it's all Twitter. And Twitter is everybody's so emotional over everything. And it's a cesspool. And frankly, I wish Twitter would go away. I've had it with it. And, you know, that's the thing now. We got to make a big deal of it on Twitter. And, you know, just some of the crap people are sending you. It's like, okay, you know, you made your point. So... okay. I mean,
Twitter's literally, it's the worst. It is. I need it for work, obviously. If I didn't, I wouldn't have, just like I got rid of Facebook because it's nothing but negativity and nastiness. And really what it does is it shows the worst of people. And if the people in my life that, you know, like the people that I care about in life came up to me and they've got something to say, you know, about the way I'm living and cool, that's fine. Just say that to me. It's the worst to have to explain yourself to people who are, I mean, not only do you not know, but most of them have a picture of a dog head or something as their avatar and some phony baloney name. You don't even know who you're talking to. And all they're doing is telling you what a horrible person you are because you believe this or you think this or you did this or you did. I mean, it's absurdity.
And this goes to something I always talk about. What's their agenda? And I'm sure you got some people who are just mad because Josh is on the air. So they're going to go after you for that.
And there's people that are mad because Barry and Raheel aren't.
Right.
And of course, because there's nobody else who, you know, outranks me in this community, in this company, that's going to reply to them on Twitter, and which maybe that's my fault for even giving them the time of day on Twitter. But I try to take all everything I get about the station and talk to people about it. I try to be an open book with stuff. But nobody else who outranks me here is going to talk to them about the inner workings of why Barry and Raheel aren't here, or why Josh is here. So they're just going to assume that because I'm the one that they can get in touch with, that it's all my doing. Like I had to finally tell someone, listen, if you think it was like my call to get rid of Barry and Raheel, I've got news for you. That's not how our company works. And the guy was like, well, it says here that's your job as program director. And I was, well, yeah, my job as program director is different pre-corona. I mean, that literally changed everything. So that's the part that drives me crazy is it, you know, everybody thinks that they know everything. And if you try to interact, you try to, you know, be open with people, all they do is crap on you. It's not a fun place.
Yeah. I've totally changed how I approach Twitter, and I'm happier for it. I just don't engage when people are trying to get me into a topic that I have no interest in discussing in 240 characters. I'll just ignore them. And, you know, I'll respond to anybody that's asking a legitimate question, and people are all the time asking me stuff that, you know, about what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And I'll respond to that. But any of these push button topics where somebody's trying to draw you into something, I just stay away from. I don't tweet about it. I don't respond.
You're smarter than I am.
Well, it's pointless, man. Because all you're going to do is just, would I get more followers if I did that? Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've lost more followers in the last week or two. Mostly because, like, after I argue with someone for a little while and I get tired of arguing, or they say, I'm only just trying to get a rise out of you, that's when I just block people. Like, that's called being a troll. If all you're doing is trying to get a rise, like, I'm actually, like, trying to engage in a discussion. If the only purpose of your discussion is to get a rise out of me, that's really weird. B, I've got no time for it.
Well, that's unfortunately too common. I mean, there's people that's all they want to do is try to get under your skin. And I don't understand that. I want to know what happened in your life that made it so pathetic that's fun for you. And, you know, that's why I don't. I'll give one response, but I'm not getting into these long exchanges because they're pointless.
So, yeah, I'm changing up my methods here going forward, Fred.
832 says Fred isn't old and he don't want no smoke like AJ. No, I just have better things to do with my life than to get into a long battle with somebody who, you know, is just basically trying to get under my skin. I'm sorry, I ain't got time for that. I'm too busy. I got a bunch of jobs around here, you know. And,
hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah, I mean, again, legitimate stuff, ask anybody. I'll respond to them. But that kind of thing, I just got no use for it. And it's not about being old. It's about, you know, not being a dickweed. And, you know, I'm totally cool with really good discussion about stuff. But it's just not there. A couple things. Keith says you can for sure get it twice. I have an uncle-in-law lives in Florida, tested positive twice over a month apart.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's thanks, Keith.
So much for that theory.
Yeah, and then Riley says, I've come to realize nowadays that common sense is a rare trait. Yeah, and this is when we need common sense more than ever. But we don't. And, you know, somebody says, this is why this is so bleeped up. Now you're telling people who they can vote for, what they can watch, and what to name buildings, and where to donate. At some point, it's too much. And this racism every time you don't get what you want is ridiculous. Tell the athletes to go pay for their school or work other than pro sports. Okay,
here's the other option. Chuba Hubbard can just not play football at Oklahoma State this year, and then he can make millions of dollars a year from now, and he'll be just fine. I don't think he's that worried about it.
No, I tend to agree.
But why is everybody's first reaction when you see something you don't like, I'm taking my toys and I'm going home? Okay, well, if you're only going to play for a coach or you're only going to work for a boss who sees everything the same way you do, you never expand your thoughts on anything in life. You should probably surround yourself with people who think differently than you so you get different perspectives on life as you grow up.
Well, the other thing I've noticed is, and this is something we really need to normalize, as things change, as more information becomes available and they change their minds on things. Not, maybe they don't totally flip, but they can change their mind based on new evidence. You can't hold them to what they thought before. Like, I think that's a big thing going on with this. With both things, because there's a lot of people, I think, now who are realizing that there was some racial insensitivity that was going on that maybe they didn't realize was racially insensitive. So they're making an adjustment. I think there's people who we thought things about coronavirus early on, and as more news comes out, we've adjusted. But the way the internet works is if you had a thought at any point and you change your mind, you're a phony or you're a fraud. When the truth of it is, we really need to normalize changing our opinions. And this is what frustrates me. And I say this all the time. And one thing I don't do, and I make no secret about not being a fan of our president. In fact, I've never been secretive about it before he got the job. I wasn't secretive about it. What I don't do is belittle people who voted for him when he does something stupid. Now, I will belittle you if you if he does something stupid and you say, that's not stupid, he did something great. But there's no point in dogging someone for a decision they made 3 years ago when their opinion on it could be totally different now. And that's the same thing goes for people who voted for Obama, and I'm one of those people. I voted for Obama the first time. And then 4 years later, I didn't vote for him again because my opinion changed based on what I was presented with 4 years of facts. I didn't just go, I picked Obama. I picked him forever. It doesn't have to be that way. We can all adjust based on new evidence and new findings. And that's not just with politics. It's literally with all of life. And Twitter hates that. If you think something on any point since you've created an account at twitter.com, they will go find it and say, look what you said in 2014. You can't feel this way now because you didn't feel that way 7 years ago. Okay, that's weird, but okay. But that's the internet, and that's the worst part about it, I think.
Oh, I well said. 346 says, I'm actually proud that Twitter has given the younger generation confidence and a platform to have a voice. For too long, athletes and people in the workplace were forced to be quiet because of retaliation, and I'm an old. Yeah, in a perfect world, that's what it would be, but that's not what it is. It's not even close.
That's the problem is with social media. And listen, not that everyone in real media, like on the news, not everyone's Walter Cronkite anymore. There's a bunch of dummies that they just hire because they've got long legs, or they happen to be gay and have nice hair, and we're going to put them on because they'll rate well with this demo. That's what the news is now. Like, what are people going to want to tune into on television? Whereas in the past, with a newsman, you felt like you could trust what Peter Jennings or Dan Rather had to say about things. But the problem with social media is literally everyone's allowed to talk. It's kind of like voting. Unfortunately, there are people who have severe mental handicaps whose vote counts as much as Aaron's. There are people who... there are child rapists whose vote counts as much as yours, Fred. That's the unfortunate thing. Anyone can get on Twitter.com and say something, and if one person with any kind of clout retweets it, now everyone thinks that that's gospel. That's the unfortunate thing to Twitter. It gives people a voice, but it also gives stupid people a voice.
Yeah, well, and the stupid people have the loudest voice, which is unfortunate.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm not talking about you. I just think people who are rational don't engage in that, and there's a reason for that. Larry says, you'll never win talking politics. Everyone has to be right. I understand
that. Everyone has to be. That's true.
So sucks to be you guys right now. Not really. I'm happy to have these discussions because, again, if I can, if one person out there will actually listen to somebody else and listen to a different opinion.
I will say this, Fred. Real power comes when, like, you don't care if people follow you. I'm done hearing your blah, blah, blah. I'm out. I'm like, oh my God, thank God you're out. I literally would have never noticed had you not told me you were out. That's the thing about Twitter is, like, you can just, if you don't like what someone's saying, you can just remove yourself from that situation instead of causing, like, a riotous scene on the interwebs. You can just say, oh, I don't like this guy. I don't like what he's saying. I don't want to hear it anymore. And then you won't hear it.
All right, let's take a quick break. Please
crazy
don't go
features
anywhere.
They've got.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boy, I didn't expect the show to go this way today, but you know what? There's some good comments coming in. And St. Patrick says the cancel culture is getting out of hands these days.
It is.
You can't have a different opinion based on your own experience without catching smoke from those who feel like opinion is gospel, period. Well done. And 281 says, at what point do you draw a line in the sand, adjusting to everything that hurts any individual has to eventually come to a head? See, I think line in the sand is kind of a problem. I mean, at some point, yes, you take a stand. At some point, you formulate your opinions. I would say, like, I've had friends who wound up being involved in domestic abuse. I cut them loose. Nothing to do with them. That's it. They're out of my life, and they won't be back. And that's, I guess, is a line in the sand. But the good thing about a line in the sand versus a line in concrete is you can move it. You know, as you get more information, and it's okay to have strong opinions. It's okay to have strong beliefs, but you know, the best ones are based on actual research. The best conversations I've ever had about politics are people who are extreme one way or the other.
Oh, that's the worst conversations I have.
No, because at some point, you know, you learn some things that you didn't know, and maybe you convince them of that. There's some people I can't win with my wife. I don't even try anymore. But you know, one of the best ones I ever had was Dylan Gwynn in the Las Vegas airport.
About Mighty Gwynn.
The Mighty Gwynn.
With Gwynn, Fred?
The Middle Eastern culture. And I think
they're bad guys.
Really,
they're terrorists.
But we, you know, I learned some things from him. He learned some things from me. And nobody's opinion really changed. But it was a good discussion.
Yeah.
I miss that. We don't have that. And that's, Twitter will never have that. And I guess that's one reason why I don't do it on Twitter. It's because you can't, and somebody mentioned nuance. It's not nuance. It's context is the problem. People can't put things into context properly.
What I will say to that was it St. Patrick you said? Was that a text or a tweet or what?
That was a text from
okay.
St. Patrick.
Okay. What I'll say about that is we are, and I've talked about this before, about the two different kinds of quote-unquote liberals, and the younger version of liberal is everything is like, you can't say something that might offend someone, or you like there's words that could be upsetting to people. Every statue or picture or something could offend someone, and they will cancel you over that. And I'm not a fan of the cancel culture. I mean, I've long said I don't like when guys get fired for doing things like bonehead things. I mean, if you want to suspend somebody or whatever, if they say something stupid. Now, I mean, there's some things that we all know you just can't say, but if they say something ignorant, sometimes it's because they're ignorant. They just don't realize what they're doing. So I don't think the answer is just fire everyone, fire, fire, fire. I don't think that's always the answer. So I don't like the idea of, oh, this guy made a joke that didn't hit, so he's got to be canceled. Like, the internet's got to just say, you're dead to us. We want nothing to do with you anymore. I don't understand that philosophy, but that's what a lot of – and this is the truth of it, Fred. I mean, people – and I'll be 40 in a couple months. Like, if you're my age or older, the 40-plus-year-old male in this country has always had the biggest say. They've had the biggest voice. And the truth of it is, that's not going to last much longer. If it's still lasting, that's going away, because those young people are eventually – people like Fred are dying. People like you, Fred, sensible older men, are dying off and being replaced with people who think that that's the normal. And our culture is changing. And you can say, when do we draw the line in the sand? The truth is, bro, you probably don't decide where the line gets drawn anymore. The younger generation is deciding that now, and it's uncomfortable. And it's kind of the same way a lot of white people feel. I think older white people they're worried that, you know, if old white men aren't in charge of this country in every single aspect anymore, is it going to be as great for us as it's always been? And it's terrifying to think that, oh my God, what if old white men aren't always on top anymore? What are we going to do? It's kind of that way for young people too. Young people are having more and more of a voice in this country, and which is probably the way it should be, because allegedly people like Fred and I are we're hoping to build a country for our children, not for us, for our children to live in, but for our children. I don't know if they'll thrive in whatever setting gets set up by the young people of today, but I mean, Fred, both your kids are voting age now. They're building a country for themselves. Like, they have every right to. And it really is uncomfortable for people. People don't like to know that their voice doesn't count as much as it used to. It's a really uncomfortable feeling for people, especially people who have had their way most of their lives.
Well, I'm totally fine with them taking it over, because my generation hasn't done the best job. There's no question. And, you know, I hope my kids make a difference. I mean, that's what you do. You do the best job you can with them. You try to be a good parent, and you hope that they take that and make the world a better place. And I'm proud of both of my kids that, you know, they're trying to do that. My daughter wants to go into social work to help. I'm proud of that. So I want that generation to make a difference. And at this point, it doesn't matter to me. Because I damn sure don't trust the idiots that we've elected during our lifetime. So, you know, it's time for them. It is time for them to take it over, because they have to live with this. We're not going to have to. I mean, you might be at the halfway point, but I mean, how much are you going to, how much of that back end? So this is the thing I think about, is how much of the back end of my life am I going to be able to make a difference? And once I get into my 70s, if I make it that far,
right?
What kind of difference?
I mean, you're running out of time, certainly.
Well, I mean, I still have a lot of good years left, but I don't have that many.
You've got some good years left.
I think I got 10,
okay,
at least, to still be doing this. But we'll see. Let's take a break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.